Hello, I'm Kyla, I'm a second year chemist, and I'm the Access and Outreach Rep for the Queen's College, Oxford. Welcome to the pilot episode of the Queen's Access podcast. It's so lovely to have you here, and I hope you find this a useful resource in learning more about life at Oxford, but more specifically about life at the Queen's College. My guest this week is Seren Ford, who's just finished her first year studying biochemistry and who acts as the female welfare rep for the Queen's JCR. She'll talk us through some aspects of her life at Oxford, and we'll have a chat about how Queen's supports the welfare of its students. I hope you enjoy. Hi, Seren, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks so much for agreeing to talk to me.
That's no problem.
So I think to start, if you could just tell me a little bit about yourself, please, kind of, you know, where you're from, what your background is.
Yeah, sure. So I live in the southeast of England in Kent, and I went to a selective state grammar for both years 7 to 11, and I changed school for sick form to a different state selective grammar in London. So that sixth form school was like very competitive to get in. You had to sit a paper for each subject you wanted to do an A level in.
Wow.
And they had about 20 people go to Oxbridge every year, because anyone like from all over London and where I live, which isn't in London, could get to it. It was quite easy to travel to. People came from all over to go there because they knew it had like a good track record with getting people into like Russell Group unis.
Yeah.
So I had quite a bit of support from school and could speak to people who had applied to Oxbridge. I think no one in the past year had done biochemistry, which is the subject that I'm currently doing, and I've just finished my first year. But still, the school had experience with people going off to do interviews and things like that.
Yeah, so you had kind of those resources available to access if that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, so tell me about your Queen's journey. So not just Oxford, but how did you specifically end up at Queen's?
So I came to Queen's via a quite interesting route. So I didn't apply to Queen's in the first place. I applied to St. John's because I couldn't really decide what college to go to. And it was close to the biochem department. It had accommodation for all 4 years. So Queen's does this as well. But some colleges, you have to like find a house in second year. So I like that about St. John's, and I like that Queen's still does that. So I had an interview at St. John's and Magdalen. It's quite common for subjects for you to have an interview at more than one college, like for biochemistry. Currently, that happens for almost everyone. And then I got an open offer underwritten by St. John's. So that basically means that I could have ended up at any college, but if every space was full, St. John's would like have to take me, kind of thing. So then on results day, I found that I got into Queen's. So I hadn't even had the chance to look around Queen's on one of the open days. So my first day of freshers was the first time I'd even like stepped foot into Queen's, but I'm so glad I've ended up here. My college parents, they send everyone a letter in the welcome pack email you receive if you met your offer. And then they answered all of my questions I had about the college or my subject and helped me learn more about life at Queen's and made me feel really welcome. So I'm so glad I've ended up here.
Oh, that's lovely. I think it's important to talk about that as well, because I don't think a lot of people are kind of fully aware of how the open offer system works. Yeah. So I think it's really interesting to see your perspective from that.
Definitely. And my school, so as I said, it had like quite a few people go to Oxbridge every year. And my director of sixth form, that teacher hadn't ever encountered anyone with an open offer. They didn't know what that was or what it meant, really. So there is information about it online, but not a lot.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us today. So what do you think is the best thing about studying biochemistry at Oxford? Because as you say, you were the first person, like nobody in the year above you applied for biochem. So what do you think makes biochem special at Oxford?
So the biochem department at Oxford is so good, and it's really, really big as well. I know that a lot of other unis, biochemistry is sort of seen as a bit of a niche subject, but here the department is so big, and also there are a lot of contact hours, as is with almost all the STEM degrees that Oxford does. So you have like lectures, classes, tutorials and practicals, and that allows you, even though it is quite hectic at times and you do have quite a lot of work, it allows you to develop a really good understanding of the subject. And I think that's really one of the strengths of the course, the amount of different things that you do, like different subject areas, because biochemistry isn't just like biology plus chemistry. It's a lot of other things, and you get to learn in all sorts of different ways. And every Friday in first year you have like basically a whole day in the lab. So biochemistry at Oxford, it's definitely somewhere I'd recommend to study biochemistry specifically.
Brilliant. So we were talking then about contact hours and how your course is split. So can you give me an idea of kind of what does a week look like in your life, both academically and personally at Oxford?
Yeah, sure. So the typical week varies quite a lot between the different years in the biochemistry course. But in first year, every Friday, I had a lab day. So that was sort of 4 or 5 hours in the lab. I had about 2 classes a week, which is where 2 different colleges, their biochem students, get together and go over the answers to a problem sheet that could be on maths or biological chemistry or biophysical chemistry. And then I had about 10 lectures every week. It did vary a little bit. Sometimes it was more like 12. And then about 1 tutorial. I had some weeks with like no tutorials, and then 1 week in the term that's just gone I had 3 in 1 week, so it sort of averages out to about 1 a week, and that's quite standard for biochemistry. And then around this, as like social things, I started learning to row in like classic Oxford fashion, but the river was really high during this past academic year, so it was a lot of just doing stuff on a rowing machine. But we did get to go out a couple of times.
Did you enjoy learning to row?
Yeah, it was really, really welcoming, because some sports at Oxford, they have very like competitive teams and things like that, where people have been doing that sport all their lives and they come to Oxford to sort of continue doing it. But with rowing, it's something that almost no one has done before. So it's, you don't have the sort of pressure like, oh, if you want to try something new. And that's what I really enjoyed about it. Like, I hadn't done all that much sport before coming to Oxford, so getting involved in something like that, where it's very sort of beginner friendly, was really nice.
Yeah, definitely. And then what do you fit in your downtime? So when you're not rowing, when you're not doing academics, kind of when you're not doing structured social events, how do you relax?
So one of the things I did do during a second term, which is known as Hillary at Oxford, all the terms have sort of strange names, is that I learned to knit as part of a project that was making a blanket for a charity. So I learned how to do that. So that was quite cool.
That's very cool.
And as part of the LGBTQ plus SOC, I met friends there, and we like watched RuPaul's Drag Race and stuff like that. So that was really nice. So society is a really good way to meet people from other colleges that have similar interests as yourself. And the college bar, even though I don't drink alcohol, was a really nice place to go in the evenings and meet up with friends and have a chat. And the same for the JCR common room.
Yeah. So I'll just quickly explain for those of you who are listening who might not be familiar with the term. JCR stands for Junior Common Room, and it represents both a body of people and a physical room that happens in college. So the Junior Common Room is a room in college that has, like, we've got a TV and a PlayStation, I think, and a kitchen and sofas, and it's just a nice social space that's always open. But the JCR is also a body of students. So the JCR represents all of the undergraduates in the college. I believe you can opt in or opt out, but the majority of students opt into the JCR. And there's a committee called the JCR Executive, where there's different reps. So one of the things that I'm talking about with Seren later on in this episode is that Seren acts as the female welfare rep, I act as the access and outreach rep. So there are positions that you can run for within the JCR. So I just thought I'd clear that up because I remember being quite confused about what a JCR actually was before I got to Oxford.
Yeah, there's a lot of Oxford-specific language, but you, once you're here, you do get to grips with it very quickly. It's just quite disorientating at first.
Yeah, definitely. Well, moving on then, given that we've just talked about it, so you are, as I said, the female welfare rep for the JCR. So what does that job entail? What are your responsibilities within that role?
So the term at Oxford is 8 weeks long, and in fifth week, for all across the university, that's known as Welfare Week. So what I, along with the male welfare rep, do is help run events to give people some like added downtime and different ways to enjoy themselves. So we run like JCR brunches in the morning and JCR sort of teas like 4 p.m. in the afternoon, and movie nights and hot chocolate and different things like that, because the term is shorter than most other universities, so the workload is quite compressed, so you have a lot going on. So it's nice to have that sort of halfway mark, like you're more than halfway, and just to give people a bit of a breather.
Yeah, so definitely.
As well as running that, my main job is sort of to signpost people to the qualified people, like the welfare officer in Queen's, as well as other sort of staff who are specific for welfare or different issues, as well as just to be there to like have a chat with people if they want that. And also in terms of like specific places for people to get help, the Humans of Queen's Facebook page has a couple of posts where people talk about how Queen's has supported them with mental health issues. So that's a good place to look. Like, people have talked about their experience with the Disability Advisory Service at Oxford. So that's a uni-wide thing to help discuss different options and put things in place early, so you will have support when you arrive here, and they can continue to support you throughout your whole time at Oxford, like, for example, encouraging you to apply for funding for disabled students and things like that.
Yeah, no, it's really nice. I think a point to mention as well would be, so Seren and I are quite good friends, and we have gone on quite a few welfare dog walks that she's organised. So I don't know if you want to tell the podcast about Bailey the Border Collie.
Oh, yeah, sure. So it started when the previous female welfare rep for the Queen's JCR, there's a website called Borrow My Doggy, and you can basically just take someone's dog who's signed up to this, go meet them at their house and take their dog for a walk. So then during the past term before COVID, I did it sort of like every other week, basically taking Bailey the Border Collie, who is really, really sweet, for a walk around the Christchurch Meadows. So anyone could come. We have a JCR Facebook page, and I just put a little post on there saying, if you want to come at this time, we're going to go for a walk. And people really, really enjoyed that. And I was so glad, because some colleges do have like a college cat or a college tortoise or something, but Queen's doesn't have any college pets. So it was nice to do something like this for people who do miss their pets and also just want to get out in Christchurch Meadows, which is a really lovely place to walk around.
Yeah, it was really nice. And it was really nice to have that kind of set time to decompress, because it stopped you. You know, I know personally I can spend a couple of hours kind of scrolling aimlessly through Instagram, but I think it was really nice to be able to have a dedicated kind of 2 hours where we did just go for a walk with a very, very cute dog, and we did have a nice time. So when we were talking about stress earlier, so Oxford's an academic powerhouse, and it's often viewed from the outside as like it would be a very stressful environment. So how important do you think the university considers student welfare?
So I think Oxford as an institution could still be doing a lot more, but the atmosphere between the students is very supportive. It doesn't really feel like competitive in a way. And there is also a lot of support on offer. So we have the JCR welfare reps like me. Everyone has a moral tutor. So this term varies in name between the different colleges. But what it basically means is it's a one of the tutors at Queen's who does your subjects, who may or may not necessarily give you tutorials, but they are someone who you can go to if you have any problems. Queen's has a dedicated welfare officer, and we also have a dean who is the head of sort of discipline and welfare you can go to, as well as the junior deans who are DPhil students. So they're sort of currently doing a PhD at Oxford. So they're a little bit older and they have training. So from, I think, 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. So if someone's had like a mental health crisis in the night, you can phone them via the lodge. And the lodge, I don't know, Kyla, do you want to sort of explain what that is? And then I can talk about how it sort of links to welfare.
Yeah, of course. So the lodge is the Porter's Lodge. So Queen's, as with all Oxford colleges, has a dedicated rota of porters. They are in the lodge 24 hours every day, including Christmas. They're very committed. And they deal with a lot of things in Queen's. So they deal with a lot of the security. So they watch the security cameras. They make sure that nobody comes into Queen's who isn't supposed to. So Queen's is closed to tourists. So they kind of, they patrol that, they sort everybody's post. They're the people you go to if you've lost your key, if you've lost your university card. They're just generally kind of the first port of call if anything's gone wrong. But one of the main things about the porters is if you have any kind of issue, you can always contact them and they'll signpost you to some people. So to give an example of kind of how important the lodge are in the running of college is if something happens and you have an accident and you need to call an ambulance, one of your friends calls 999 while the other calls the lodge. Like, they are very important. They help to signpost if any medics need to come into college. They can tell them exactly where you are. They can take you to them. Everybody has the lodge's number in their phone. And they're also really good in that you can call them if you're generally having a bit of a crisis. You can call them even if you're not in Queen's at the time. So if any kind of event happens outside of college and you need to be picked up, you can ring the lodge. They're very accessible. And another thing to mention as well, which isn't strictly welfare related but sort of is that all of the lodges in Oxford are open to all Oxford students. So even though you kind of, it's not necessarily, you know, you're wandering in and out of colleges all the time, what it does mean is that if you're in a situation where you feel like you're in danger or you feel like you need immediate help, you can go into the nearest college, which realistically it's probably very near. The colleges are everywhere. You can go into the nearest college, speak to their porters, and they will contact the Queen's porters. They'll give you any help you need. So the porters are a really good resource. So yeah, as Saren was saying, you can contact the junior deans via the lodge and they can help with mental health crises. They can help with any kind of problems you're having. They can also help if people have perhaps had too much to drink and they're not exactly in the safest situation. So all that kind of thing. So Saren, yeah, do you want to take over from there?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. That was a really good explanation of what how the lodge runs. So as Kyla said, everyone has the Queen's Lodge's mobile number. So you can phone them at any time. And for example, in a case of assault or something like that, they can phone you a taxi if you need to go to the hospital or a specific place. And again, as Kyla said, that's how you can get in contact with the junior deans. So they are so wonderful. They're all such lovely people. Mm-hmm. And they are, I think, maybe kind of a sort of underrated welfare resource. Like, they are they know exactly what's going on in college. They know how to get you the help you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's true. I don't think the junior deans get enough kind of appreciation. And I didn't know they even existed until I got into Freshers Week and we had a talk by them. And I mean, I personally have never called them, but there's certainly been times where I've been glad that they are there in a situations where it's kind of been like, I think this can be dealt with with the people who are in the situation, but as a backup, we know that we can ring the junior deans, and one junior dean lives in each of the Queen's buildings. So they are very, very, very accessible. So one lives in Caradus Quad, one lives in Old Eights, one lives in Cardo. So no matter what year of college you're in, if you're in a Queen's building, there's a junior dean very, very close to you. So they're always there to help. So yeah. I think, well, I was going to ask kind of what support is available to somebody struggling at Queen's, but I feel like we've probably covered that. Is there anything else you'd want to add there?
So in terms of just a couple of things to add, there is also a college nurse, and the college is linked to like a GP service mm-hmm. on Beaumont Street that you can go to. And then there's also the Disability Advisory Service, which is the uni-wide thing I mentioned earlier, that can help in terms of like mental health, like long-term problems, mm-hmm. and then getting you sort of disability funding and things like that.
Yeah. No, I think they're both really important resources. I know I've certainly hit up Beaumont Street a couple of times with some pretty rough cases of freshers flu. So yeah, they're a very useful resource. And also I fall over a lot, so the college nurse is probably seeing me to bandage my knee now. So it's been so lovely talking to you. I thought as my last question, I'd ask you a bit of a general thing. So what is your favorite thing about college and why?
Oh, so there are so many things I like about Queen's. One of the things that I found most useful in first year was how much the second years supported us and got to know us. Mm, yeah. So that was really great to find all sorts of bits of advice. Because Freshers Week, it's only a week long. That isn't really long enough to tell you sort of all the workings of the university and the college and how your sort of subject works. And all the different things going on, like the end of term event, for example. Mm-hmm. So that was really lovely. And Beer Cellar, the college bar, as I mentioned earlier, even for people who don't drink, it's a really nice place to go and like chill out in the evenings. And I know that alcohol is sometimes something that people are quite concerned about. So I don't drink alcohol, and I've never felt pressured to drink alcohol, even though the vast majority of my friends do drink. So if that's something that you are concerned about, I don't worry too much about it. And you can also always come speak to us, one of the welfare reps or the welfare officer or anybody like that, if you do have concerns about that sort of thing. But yeah, the second years were so useful for us, and I hope that we will be useful for you too.
Yeah, fingers crossed. No, yeah, I think college parenting is a really important resource as well that isn't necessarily always talked about. But I relied on my college parents a lot. There was a topic that I was struggling with, and I told my college father I was struggling with it. And about 3 days later, he sent me about 5 different links to PowerPoint presentations that explained it. And he was like, oh, I don't even study this bit anymore, but I went online and found you some stuff, because he was like, I know that, because I didn't take physics A-level. So he helped me with a lot of the physics content. And that was really lovely. Well, thank you so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it. I've really enjoyed this little chat, and I think it's been really useful.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Have a lovely week.
You too.
Okay, I'll speak to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you so much to Saren for that insightful conversation, and a massive thank you to all of you who listened. There are loads more Access resources on the Queen's College website at www.queens.ox.ac.uk/access-outreach. And you can find out more about the college in general through its website, Twitter, and Instagram. That's all from me. Have a lovely week, and hopefully I'll see you again very soon.